screen. Okay. So this is pretty amazing scripture. It's at the end of Matthew. And I do get dry mouth, so I'm going to get my reader to read for me, which is Melinda.
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him." But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, resurrected Christ, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful.
So resurrection was a very key element of Christianity. It is also a key element in the Jewish culture. That's why the scribes were mocking him. They were mocking him. You know, as Daniel presented, if you were here, this disciple who followed him 2-3 years was really disappointed because he's like, oh, no, he's another prophet. You know, he did signs and wonders, but a lot of prophets that came before, they did it too. And he's going to die in 3 years. In 3 years, what is he going to accomplish? He's definitely not going to bring the kingdom of God to us. He's not, definitely not the Messiah. So the Jewish leaders were right to mock him and say, come down from the cross. Show us, prove to us that you can come down the cross and we will believe in you. Unfortunately, they were lying. Not many believed in him, even after he was resurrected, after he had came down the cross. Now, the element of surprise is the 3 years of discipleship with Christ still have found some of them doubtful. So doubting Jesus is very, very normal. So we have to get used to it. Worrying, anxiety is very normal. But Jesus keeps saying, don't worry. You know, don't be doubtful. Don't be people of little faith. Keep moving towards the faith journey and face God on his own and put your trust in God and let your trust be in the Lord. That's the resurrection message. Because Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. Let's have a look at the next one, please. I'm just going to go through some scripture, okay? So Paul made it very clear. If Christ has not been raised, your faith, my faith, will be futile. We do not worship a dead Jesus Christ. Buddha. Lots of people follow Buddha teaching. But he's not alive today. He's floating somewhere, if you believe in the Buddhist understanding. His consciousness, his energy is somewhere. But we have a bodily, human form, God, seated on the right side hand of God. So without the resurrection, so you need to understand the resurrection. You need to understand fully and embrace it because Andrew Murray, one of the South African theologians, he said, Martin Luther did a great reformation. You know, justification by faith. Ah, oh, so good, so good. All right? But the justification of faith is not enough. He said, we need another reformation. The reformation is we need to talk about the resurrection Christ more. We need to embrace it and live it. How do we live a resurrection life? When you became a Christian, when you are born again, what kind of spirit of Christ lives in you? Have a think. Is it a Christ that walked on earth before he died, which means he was still tempted? He was still struggling with human frailty? Or is it the resurrection Christ? So if Christ did not die and rose again, we are still living the sin. The victory is that Christ rose again. So dying is easy, all right? Muhammad died, all right? All the Hindu gods died. Dying is easy. It's just getting up again, all right? Next one, please. All right.
Rebirth, emphasizing no permanent self, soul. Buddhist contexts refer to the process by which a new existence arises after death. Emphasis, the continuation of a stream of consciousness or mental continuum influenced by past actions and effects. Karma. Reincarnation, implying a migrating soul, Hinduism is strongly associated with the concept of reincarnation, where the soul is believed to transmigrate through various lifetimes in a cycle driven by the consequences of karma, causes and effects.
Okay. So this is very common now in our modern Western civilization. All right? When you talk about karma, people are like, yeah, I know that, cause and effect, yes, we all do that. But it's an Eastern philosophy and religion long before Jesus Christ. So it's infiltrated. Now, the thing with karma is most of the thing, we got control of our destiny. You know, maybe I fail this lifetime, but next lifetime may be better. So there's something that's crept into the Western philosophy. That's why Christianity is not as attractive, because we get a second chance. If you believe in karma, you believe there's a second chance. You believe there's a cycle of life that you continue. So this body of mine, if I don't like, you know, I'm 5'5", I want to be 6 foot in my next life, I can karmically hope for to have the Arnie body, you know, depending on, you know what I mean? So there's a sense we are in control, which is a false hope. All right? When you talk to people, all right, when you say, oh, you know, Jesus is the only way. Nah, how can it be? There's 7.6 billion and you're just saying Jesus is the only way? So you need to redefine it, because resurrection is the only thing that is very certain. All right? So if you look at that transmigration of soul, like say Buddhism is more energy, the chemical, the consciousness, and it just goes on. It just end up in nirvana, and nirvana is actually nothingness. So the philosophy is very simple. It is in the nothingness that you get everything. So be nothing, and you'll be everything. All right? That's a paradox. So you kind of laugh, you know, but the Christianity is lots of paradox. And people laugh at it and say, you know. So I just want to make sure you know resurrection is not rebirth, reincarnation, or reborn. Okay? Let's look at it. Next slide, please. All right. So Father Abraham, bless him. He started three big things. He didn't meant to, but he happened to. All right? So these three main religions believe in resurrection because it comes from the same roots. Can you read that? So I need to pause, my mouth get dry. Can I?
Resurrection, coming back to life after death. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, dead will be raised bodily.
Sorry. Yeah, keep going.
Judaism. A traditional view includes a future resurrection of the dead, particularly in the Messianic age. Islam teaches that on the day of judgment, all humans will be resurrected to be judged by God. Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a central tenet believed to have occurred on the third day after his crucifixion. This event is seen as a victory over death and the promise of future resurrection for believers.
So there wasn't any resurrection for that cup of water. I didn't intend that, but could see that. There's no resurrection. I couldn't pick it up anymore. So the concept, again, is very similar. That's why when the Jews saw Jesus dying on the cross, all right, there were some who believed that, yeah, this is the Jewish Messiah that had been prophesied. We need to remember, whether you're West Asian, Jesus is a Jewish Messiah, all right? Whether you like the Israel or not, Christianity came from there. So the Jewish Messiah was like, no, he's supposed to live forever. He's going to bring the kingdom that will go on and on. That's why the cross doesn't make sense to them. That's why they're like, this is a false Messiah. Let's crucify him. All right? So these three main religions have similarity because it came from Father Abraham. Next one, please. All right. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. This is a supreme surprise. So Jesus prophesied that he is the true Messiah. He's not here. But he's here in the spirit, because he was trapped in the human form, and he was trapped in the time and space like us. But he needs to break free from that bodily form so that he can invade every sphere of human being and every heart that will receive him. He's risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Nobody respond. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. All right. Next one, please. All right. So this was before Jesus died. Again, the seven I am in John is very powerful, all right? This obviously was during Lazarus' time, where we had the shortest verse, Jesus wept, all right? Humanly, he was connecting, and then he allowed Lazarus to die 4 days, because, again, Jews like 3 days, then you are really dead. But, you know, Jesus, like, make sure he's really dead, give him extra day off. And then he rose again. But Lazarus died. So it's important to say Lazarus died. But when we receive Jesus Christ, this is what he says: I am the resurrection and the life. Interesting, isn't it? He put the resurrection first and then the life. So the life after resurrection is forever. Lazarus only received his life, resurrection life, while he was still on earth. As far as I know, I think Lazarus didn't rise again. I think he's dead. Is that right, Simon? Yes, he's pretty dead. Simon is our scribe here, so I need to check with him. The one who believes in me will live, even though they died. This is the resurrection power. All right? If you're going to live for eternity, make your life on earth count. Because after the earthly life, no more working, no more sowing, no more investing in people for the kingdom of God. So sometimes you kind of think, oh, wow, I got eternity to live, so I might as well do whatever I want. But make your earthly life count, because you have all eternity to celebrate it. Next scripture, please. All right, the significance of resurrection.
For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins.
So Paul is very, very good in Hebrew teaching. So when Jesus saved Paul, I know the old stuff. And now he's putting it into the spin of the modern Christianity. And he said, you know what? Jesus just did exactly what was prophesied in our Torah, in our scripture. He was the Jewish Messiah, yet the Jews did not respond to him. But you know what? The hope of the Jews coming back, you can read Romans 11. The Gentile is going to stir them up. And they're like, oh, we miss it. We miss it the first time it's coming. We're not going to miss it again the second time it's coming. So there will be an awakening of the Israel. The Messianic Jews will rise up. Then the big time clock, the prophecy of Christ coming back. Because when the Jews wake up and say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, that's where we will see the fulfillment of Christ coming back. But let's look at that. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Every dot and letter of the law and the prophecy, Christ did it. And then he was buried. How long was he buried? Three days, including the nights. Yeah, pretty much, okay? He was buried. He was buried. Only the dead get buried. Fair enough? All right? And then he was raised on the third day according to the scripture again. Next one, please. Keep reading, please.
Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
No resurrection, no justification. No justification, no new birth. So these are all big concepts of theology, you know. Again, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So what he's talking about is the life after the resurrection. If he didn't conquer death, if he didn't conquer sin, and if he didn't rise again, he's not victorious. It's only when he's victorious, he defeated the sin, the death, and the devil. And then he said, because I'm the firstborn, the first fruit, you can just follow me, piggyback me, and you'll get all the goodies of my karma, all right? And his karma is perfect. That's how I share with the Buddhists. I say, you worry about the karma, I just get Jesus' karma and I'm all good. I don't have to worry about any bad karma anymore. But that's the truth. The new birth comes after resurrection. Next one, please.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
So Jesus is still asking that question. I still ask that question to so many people when I talk to. You know, when I get to be a chaplain in Flinders Uni, lots of different philosophy. You know, the young people, you know, I respect young people. They always know the best. They always know everything, you know. But it's a good question to ask. What do you believe in? You know, there's so much information now. There's information explosion out there. And most young people, actually, me too, can't process it. It's just too much for our finite mind. It's like, which is fake news? Which is the real news? What is truth? It's really, really hard. But Jesus' word is timeless truth. Still apply in 2025. 2025, with your digital mind, if you just tap into the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free from sin, from death, from all the yucky stuff, and you start anew. Do you believe this? So brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, do you believe that Jesus' resurrection life is for you now? For you means Wherever you are, you can have a new birth, new beginning. And the new beginning is not you are on your own anymore. You are with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and He draws you into Trinity. Straight away, you are in the community of God. Can't lose. Why would anyone want anything else? Next one, please.
Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection.
So I put this up because I mentioned about Andrew Murray. You don't have to remember the name. But his proposition is we need another reformation in our Christianity. And that reformation is that we need to talk more about the resurrection life. All right, let's unpack the scripture. What is it actually saying? So what do you receive when you believe Jesus? So you believe that you died with Christ. So it's like a baptism, or Paul would say, I've been crucified with Christ. I, To Sang, has been crucified with Christ. I, To Sang, no longer live, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gives His life. So we die with Christ, okay? So that's the first step. We believe, we die with Christ. So what happened? So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so Christ did not raise Himself up. That's the thing. Christ did not raise Himself up. Who raised Him up? But Christ is God too. So who else? Who else in the Trinity? Holy Spirit, yes. With Father's blessing. All right? So you can read it. Some scripture would say the Spirit of, you know, the Holy Spirit is it. Okay? So it's to the Father's glory. So we too might walk in the newness of life. All right? It's all new, new, new. And the new is not a second edition of Toe. It's completely new. You know, metamorphosis. I suddenly become Arnie. Or actually, sorry, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee, sorry, wrong hero. You know what I mean? Whoever you imagine to be your best godly self, and God say, yeah, that's you. That's you. You know, all the scene, all the background. You know, I was talking to some young people, you know, my development trauma. They're like, what? Yeah, I did went through crazy stuff. And they say, is your heart healed? I said, no. Generally, the way I understand suffering is your heart is scarred. You get stronger. You got wound. But it's all right. You learn to live with the suffering. You're not sucked in by the suffering anymore. You just learn to live with it. And it's all right. But the newness is no more dying. No more sickness. And that's the resurrection power. So, brothers and sisters, I want to appeal to you. That's the life we are meant to live. You know, that's a resurrection life. As He is, so are we in the world. Full of righteousness. His righteousness is ours. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death. So, union in His death. Do we have union in His resurrection? It is. It's part of that equation. It's part of that deal. So when you become a new Christian, you do not become half resurrected. That looks funny, isn't it? If you're half resurrected, I don't know which part will rise and which part get left behind. You're fully resurrected. That's the reformation we need to get. We are fully born again. and born of the Spirit. So we live inside out. The Spirit impacting the soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, and then we show it in our body. You know, that's how we live. And sometimes our body is a bit frail, but under resurrection power, we might overcome it. That's my message for this morning. I mean, today, this afternoon. I'll pray, and then I'll pass it on to Marie and the worship. And I'll pass it to Holly. Let me pray. Yeah, Holly, please come forward, and you can play the two. And Ray, it's worship now. I finished my sermon. So, Father God, I just pray for this revelation to be so deeply impacting us today so that there's lots of things falling just to show you some don't get up on their own. So, Father, we thank you that we get to listen. And I pray we will listen to your Spirit today. The truth of your gospel. The truth of the resurrection power that we have now. We don't really need it when we get to heaven. It's right now, Lord. We need your resurrection power. Free from sin. Free from sin. Free from deception and disruption of the devil. Just walk fully in the righteousness, joy, and peace of the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, even as we worship again, we just ask, Lord, that we will experience your great love for us, your wonderful grace, and the sweet communion of your Spirit, that you have allowed your Spirit to come so that we are born again, born of the Spirit into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord.